Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
We're going to try this again. Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Amen. That sounds much better. I know that we have living folks who are live here this evening, so we want to make sure that we behave like it. It's indeed a pleasure to stand before you this evening. I do appreciate that you have allowed me to be here with you in the planning of this trip, and I pray that what I will share with you will be a source of encouragement to you. There are times my accent may be thick because I'm steeped in French, so just bear with me and I'll do my best to express and to share with you from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. There was one little boy from about the age of 10. There was a gospel preacher that he loved listening to. And every time he came to church services, he would sit there and listen to that preacher, and he loved listening to that man, how he spoke about God and his love for God. That little boy was driven by that brother's ability to present God's word. He was always fascinated when this man stood up and expressed and shared God's word. He was always, you know, stunned by the way that he did it. And one day, this man who was that preacher that this young man adored and cared about and loved so much, this man stopped coming to the church services. And this little boy walked up to him and he said, you know, hey, why is it that I don't see you anymore? And the preacher looked at him and said, I'm going through some things in my life and I just cannot deal with this right now. And the little boy said, you know, I always listen to you preach how you express your love for God and how you are so interested in the things of God and the amount of knowledge that you have when it comes to presenting the Word of God and the Word of God itself. And this little boy looked at him and tried to figure out, why would a man who speaks about loving God so much and having so much knowledge of God and the things of God would give up on God so quickly? And it took a long time before that little boy understood, or at least got some working knowledge in reference to, why this man left the church. This little boy also, somewhere along the line, his dad was also one who left the church. And then another uncle left the church as well. And it took this little boy a long time before he actually became a Christian. Grew up around Christians, and you know, for some reason, he felt that the men that he adored and admired the most in the body of Christ, especially when it came to preaching the gospel, they were just leaving the church. And this little boy made up his mind one day to become a Christian. And he told himself that he would never give up like these men did. This little boy is me, and the three men are my uncles. It's always a touchy thing whenever I mention and think of my uncles departing from the faith. These were men that I adored and loved a lot. Still do love them. So what we are doing this evening, I have a personal connection with that. It means a lot to me. And I pray that what I share with you this evening from our first step, where our first subject is concerned, why do people leave the church? It's a very good question to ask. It's a question that we need to make sure that we understand the answers to it based on what the Bible says about the subject. And as we go through the Bible this evening, I want to make sure that you use your sword, and as we look at the text, you will not say that the preacher said, but that you would have read it for yourself. And as we carefully look at this question, why do people leave the church? I want to share with you this evening, you know, eight reasons why do people leave the church. First of all, would you consider with me, when we read in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews, I'm reading from the American Standard Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through verse 26, if you go there with me, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through verse 26, when you're there, just say amen. That will really help me to slow down for you as much as I can. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and verse 26. Here we find a record of, in reference to the hall of faith of these men who have pleased God by faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through verse 26, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God with the people of God than to enjoy passing pleasures of sin. And when we look at verse 25 here, the first reason we can see here, based on what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through verse 26, is this. The first reason we see here is this, that one of the reasons why folks leave the church is because sin is pleasurable. You see, sometimes we fail to realize and fail to even educate brethren that sin, on the offset, on the front, on the surface, it's pleasurable. Why do you think that the whole world, the majority, is going after it? You think if it was something that was distasteful, something that wasn't good to the eyes, or something that wasn't pleasing or made them excited, that the majority of the world would be bending towards this? It's all because, as the text tells us, that Moses chose to rather stick with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. It is pleasurable. It appeals to the desires of man. And because of that, you have a majority of folks flocking to that side. Because when it's something good to them, it pleases them, it makes them, as they say, it makes them happy. It makes them feel good. And they're going towards that road, or going down that road, all because it is pleasurable. And that is one of the reasons why people are leaving the church. It's because sin is pleasurable. The proverb writer says, in the book of Proverbs chapter 11, it says, sin is as wormwood. It is basically sweet on the outside, but bitter on the inside. And you see, in the world, they don't advertise the consequence of sin. It's the church that does that. In the world, they don't advertise the consequence of sin. They advertise the sweetness of sin. But the sad thing about it is that when folks get into it, that's when they figure out how dangerous sin is. But as one fisherman would say, most of the times folks are caught hook, line, and sinker. And by the time they realize what they've gotten into, that's when they realize how dangerous sin is. And brethren, one of the reasons why people are leaving the church is because sin is pleasurable. But also, may I suggest to you another reason why people are leaving the church is because, when you look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, Paul gives us another reason here based on the experience that he himself had in reference to dealing with another brother in the church. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, and he says, and will turn away 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, it says, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Now look at this first part here of the text. It says, for Demas, having loved this present world, the word love here shows that unconditional desire to please. This is the same word that is used in reference to God loving us. Unconditional love. This brother is not loving God unconditionally. He's loving the world unconditionally. And Paul says here that this brother, he has deserted him. Why? Because he loved the world. There are so many things out there to distract us, to deter us from pleasing God, from loving God. And this brother left, and we see here, based on 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, the second reason why people are leaving the church, it's because of the pleasures of this world. The world is filled with a lot of stuff, brethren. I'm certainly sure there are folks who are way older than I am. And I'm certainly sure you could think of, maybe if you grew up here, you could think of a time when folks would, things were not the way it is now. I remember, I'll give you an example using this. I'm familiar with the Cayman Islands in this regard. I remember when I just got to the Cayman Islands, speaking to the elderly folks. I love being around the elderly folks. They have a lot of wisdom, and they know a lot of stuff in reference to history, and I love history. And when in speaking with them, they would tell you there was a time when they could have left their house unlocked, even the doors open. They would walk to a neighbor, or travel several miles to do business, and no one would mess with their stuff. And they said, but now you cannot do that. Why? The world that we're living in, brethren, is not a friendly place when it comes to the Christian life. Because sin is controlling so many lives of their brethren, it makes it even sometimes difficult for the Christian to function. But we ought to always remember who we're here to please. So we see here, first of all, because sin is pleasurable, but also we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, is because of the pleasures of this world. There's so many distractions out there. So many distractions. I remember doing a mission trip to Guyana, South America. And when we got there, we had a gospel meeting outside under a tent. And we had about 200 chairs. And before the gentleman, the brother stood up to preach, the chairs were filled and there were persons standing all outside and the road was crowded with the folks. And we wonder, why is it this is not happening in other Caribbean countries? You see, these people, they don't have anything much to really get their attention. So for them, this was almost something new. But today we have so many things to distract us. The television, you know, the cell phones. There's so many things to distract us. And as a result of that, we lose sight of what is most important to the Christian. The pleasures of the world is drawing men, is pulling men out there. And as a result of that, more and more, even brethren in the church are going back out there in the world. Remember a young man who told me once, you know, Brother Nariah, I need to take a break. And I'm like, oh, take a break from what, brother? And he said, well, one of the things that I'm competitions when it comes to music in the Caribbean is calypso. You may have heard this. And he said, you know, I'm taking a break from the church and because, you know what, I want to try to go into the calypso competition. And I said, brother, you're taking a break from Jesus? He said, you know, it's just going to be about 6 months. I believe that's how long the calypso competition went on for. Just about 6 months. I'll be right back. It's about, I believe, 12 years now. And he hasn't been back. All the devil wants you and I to do is to take a vacation from the Lord. Just take a step away because, you know, sin loves company. And when we take a step away, he finds ways and means of, you know, tempting us and luring us again into another thing. And when we get involved in another thing, when you look back, you have realized that you have where you once was. You're so far away from that you could hardly see where you once was. The devil has no interest. Yes, you may want to take a holiday, and folks may have taken a holiday from the Lord, but the devil's interest is that when you take that holiday, he has no interest in persuading you to go back where you came from. His interest is to keep you away from the Lord as long as he can. And how does he do that? With the pleasures of this world. But also thirdly, if you look with me, may I recommend to you, or suggest to you rather, a third reason why people leave the church. If you look with him, Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I find it fascinating, you know, oftentimes we quote that scripture, but we fail to realize that here in the text, here in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, the things that Jesus is talking about is referring to what he said before in reference to food, clothing, and shelter. You see, that's what the Gentiles were, you know what? That's what they're flocking over. That's what they were so concerned and troubled about, if not having something to eat, not having something to wear, not having a roof over their heads. And Jesus is saying, you ask my children, don't worry about that stuff. I'll provide that stuff for you. But you need to make sure you have, based on here, in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, we'll see here, one of the reasons why people are leaving the church is because their priorities are not in order. The text says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. First things first. The authority, the rulership of God in your life. And all these things shall be added unto you. You need food, God will provide. You need shelter, he will provide. Whatever you need, God will provide. God is saying, I want you to trust me. That because of your trust in me, that you continue to seek my rulership in life, seek the church in your life, and always seek to be faithful to me in these areas, I will provide for you. David said, I've never seen the Son of God, a child of God, beg bread. I had difficulty understanding this. Growing up, my mom, remember early in the morning, I would ask my mom, you know, when I look in the cupboards, I always want to find out what is it I'm having for lunch, because I had to walk about almost 2 miles between the schoolhouse and my home, back and forth. So in one day I would walk 4 miles, 2 miles to go, 2 miles to return, and you know what, if I leave the house in the morning, I would ask my mom, what are we having for lunch? Because that would motivate me to come back home quick. So one morning I woke up and I asked my mom, what are we having for lunch? And she said, you know, the Lord will provide. I couldn't really understand that statement. And then I looked in the cupboard and there was hardly anything there. I said, Mom, what do you mean the Lord will provide? There's nothing in the cupboard. And she said, son, don't worry about it. The Lord will provide. Went to school. On my way home, I was like, man, how is the Lord going to provide? There was nothing in the cupboard. But when I got home, there was one plate of food on the table. Ladies or mothers, they have ways and means of whipping something so nutritious from simple things in the house. And I just couldn't get that. I believe, brethren, when we trust God, God provides. He provides for his people. But we have to be able to have our priorities right, to make sure that God is first in everything. And when God is first, he makes sure that everything else that you need comes after. You know, I love this in the book of Psalm chapter 24 and verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. My Father owns everything. Why should I fuss about this life? Why should I worry about things? You know, even here in the book of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, no one, why would you worry about stuff that you have no control over? Why don't you just trust God? My father used to explain it to me this way. You know what? He said, worrying is like rocking a rocking chair. You rock all day, all night, but you ain't going nowhere. God doesn't want us to worry. But when we get into worrying, because, you know, we don't have our priorities right. And because we don't have our priorities right, then we start to worry about things. And because of that, we find ourselves out there in the world. And brethren, I've stepped out all because they fail to realize if you have your priorities right, God will provide the rest. But you know, as human beings, we love to see it with our eyes. We rather walk by what we see and not what we believe. And the Lord is saying, you know what, if you trust me, I will provide. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do. But that is one of the reasons why people are leaving the church. Is because the priorities are not in order. And here's the amazing thing about this. That especially when the adults do not have their priorities right, what do you think happens to the younger generation in the church? They follow the same example that they see. But also, fourthly, would you look with me in the book of John chapter 6? John chapter 6. Verse 22 through verse 26, we find here a fourth reason why people leave the church. John chapter 6, verse 22 through verse 26. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 22 through verse 26, it says, the next day the crowd that stood in the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. They came on other small boats from Tiberias, near to the place where they were, where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get there? Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. May I suggest to you a fourth reason why people leave the church is because they come with the wrong intentions. And Jesus, in this passage, if you go and read it from verse 20 downwards, you'll see that these folks, when Jesus stood up to them and told them, you're not here for the right reason. You're here because the food that you ate, you realize that I'm capable of feeding about 5,000 people with 2 loaves and 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So why wouldn't I follow a man like this? When I'm hungry, he's able to give me food. And they were following Jesus just because Jesus was doing the signs and he was able to provide food for them. But they were not coming because they were really interested in Jesus. They were coming because of what they could get from Jesus. And it is sad, but it is true. It happens in the church. And sometimes some folks would come seeking to see what they could find from Jesus. You know, one person puts it like this. He says, don't ask what the church can do for you, but ask rather what you can do for the church. Amen. Too many times, brethren, as Christians, we tend to want to always ask what the church can do for us. But what are we doing for the church? What are we doing in trying to help the church to remain faithful, helping your brother or sisters to remain faithful in the body of Christ? And we see in every area, in every aspect of life, there will always be first persons coming to the church for the wrong intentions. I'm not saying this that we would police them. It's not our job to do that. It's the Lord's job. But at the end of the day, brethren, not everyone will always be here for the right reason. And these folks, they followed Jesus just because of what Jesus could give. Let me give you an example. Congregation that I did some work with in the Guyana, South America. You know, having, I think you call it, sleepers here. Am I saying this correct? Wear this normally to the beach or to the sea. These little shoes that you put on and you drag all over the place. Having a sleeper in Guyana is like having Nikes. Because they don't have access to those shoes. But having a sleeper is a big thing. And you know, brethren from outside of Guyana would send in those barrels of sleepers. This small congregation has about 100+ members on paper. I love to say that, on paper. 100+ members. And whenever there's no barrels of sleepers coming in, you could hardly find at least 30 members being present. But whenever barrels of sleepers are coming in, there's no room to hold anybody. And it causes you to really wonder, why? Why is it that folks still tend to seek Jesus just seeking what to see what is it that they can get from Jesus? It is good to seek spiritual help and it's good to seek salvation. But when we come to Jesus for anything other than what he's given, as a result of that, folks will leave the church because they came with the wrong intentions. So fourthly, we have seen that because they come with the wrong intentions, that's one of the reasons why folks are leaving the church. But also fifthly, may I suggest to you another reason why folks are leaving the church. When you look in the book of Matthew chapter 13, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew gives here some information that helps us to understand another reason why folks leave the church. Matthew chapter 13, verse 5 through verse 6. If you read with me, verse 5 through verse 6. Matthew chapter 13, verse 5 through verse 6 says, others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth. But verse 6 says, but when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now Jesus gives the explanation of this section of the parable in verse 22 and verse 26. Look at verse 22 and 26. You'll find the explanation of those who fell among on rocky places. In verse 22 and verse 26, he says here, and to the one whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choked the word, and it became unfruitful. And the one who receive among the soil, here in verse 23. But when you look at verse 22, it says here that the deceitfulness, worry, and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word out. It is painful to think of this reason, brethren, why folks are leaving the church. Not only because they came with wrong intentions, but also they were not firmly planted. I'm going to tell you this. You have an excellent brother in reference to sharing with you and feeding you the Word of God. I believe I've spent some time around him. I've read his books. I've followed him closely on the material that he posts online. And Brad is a capable brother, and I believe that 100%. But I'm going to tell you this. Whatever days you meet here to study the Word of God, that by itself will never be enough. You have to make a personal commitment to read the Word of God and study it also. Not everything that, he will never be able to provide everything that you need from the pulpit. There will come a time and there will always be a need in your life as a Christian to take a personal stand where you will open your own Bible and read it for yourself in the presence of your home. Sometimes we find ourselves, after services are done on Sunday, we close this book, put it on the shelf. When Friday comes, we dust it off or maybe take out the snow on there and then we come to church service again. This is the reality of things that happen. We have to spend time reading the Word, studying the Word on a personal level. And therefore, brethren, we need to always make sure that we spend time in the Word of God and do our best. Here he says, because they were not firmly planted, because why? When trials or difficulty comes, because of pressure and hardship and the deceitfulness of riches. My dad used to always tell me, you work hard for something, you learn to enjoy it even more. He says, easy come, easy go. And it can be very painful when you work hard for something and you lose it. But think of how disappointed it would be to someone who did not work for something but still lose it. When we're not firmly planted in the Lord, brethren, we will fall away. In the Caribbean, we learn how to plant palm trees and coconut trees in ways and means, the wind would beat against it in a hurricane, but it would not break. I've learned, looking at coconut trees and even palm trees, that the root of a coconut tree will go as far until it finds water. Doesn't matter how deep or how far below the earth the water is, the coconut or the palm root will go as far until it finds water. Why would it do that? Well, the saying goes, because they have, small tap roots and they would go deep until they find water. That water source keeps feeding it and strengthening it, that even when a hurricane comes, passing 250 miles per hour, 200 miles per hour, that coconut or palm tree would bend and the leaves would touch the ground, but it would not break. That very coconut tree would take a severe beating from a hurricane. And in 2 weeks, you would pass and look at that coconut tree. It would look like it never went through anything. Because it is firmly planted. That's what God wants us to be like. Firmly planted in the Word. That it doesn't matter what storm comes our way, we will keep standing. Doesn't matter what difficulty we face in life, we will keep standing. Because we need to keep standing, brethren. If we don't keep standing, it will not take too long before these doors are closed. God forbid, but that's the reality of it. That's why we ought to keep standing, not only for us here present right now, but also for the future generation, that when we keep standing, they could look back and say, these brethren, they stood. As difficult things may have been, they stood. They did not give up. Things may have been rough, things may have been tough, but they stood. Then they could look back and use them as examples in their life and say, I want to stand like this brother. I want to stand like this sister, because why? Regardless of what they faced in life, they kept standing. Are you standing, brother? Are you standing, sister? I'm not talking about standing or cementing yourself in the pews. I'm talking about cementing and standing in the Word of God. Standing in the body of Christ. Because we're not just here for us. We're also here for the future generation of the church. And we ought to set an example. Every day of our lives, we are leading in every aspect of our life. Even when we don't think we're leading, we are leading. Because they're always looking at us. Therefore, we ought to be planted. Because if we're not planted, this certainly will be another reason why folks are leaving the church, because they're not firmly planted. But also a sixth reason, if you look with me here again, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, it says here,
in verse 20 and 21, verse 5 and 6, sorry, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 says again, others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, and because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. If you look at verse 20 and verse 21 again, it says, the one on whom had seed was sown on rocky places, this is the man who heard the word and immediately received it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but he is also temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. What we can see here, brethren, in respect to our fifth reason why people leave the church, is because they were offended. Offense will come. We cannot run away from that. Somebody will say something, do something that offends you, that hurt your feelings. But at the end of the day, brethren, we cannot give up because of that. The Bible has given us a prescription in Matthew chapter 18. It is that if someone offends you, you go and you speak to that person and deal with it privately. If that person doesn't want to listen, you take one or two with you. And if that person doesn't want to listen to them, you take it to the church. But sometimes we fail to even practice that. But folks will depart from the church, will leave the church because they were offended. And here's the question I often ask. On your job, folks tell you stuff. They say bad things to you, say things that hurt your feelings, but you don't leave your job. You keep on working. So why is it so easy for us to leave the church? Why is it easy so when offense comes, we tend to, that's it, I cannot take this anymore. We leave the Lord. But that is one of the reasons why people leave the church. It's because they were offended. One of my teachers at the Trinidad School of Preaching said once, do all the good that you can and no harm at all. And because of that statement that he made one day, I never forgot it. I always tell myself, I do not want to put myself in a position where I would offend somebody. And if I ever offend somebody, I want to quickly make things right with them. Another teacher said once, I would have been the man who nailed the nail on Jesus' hands. I would rather be the man who, nailed that nail on his feet. I would have rather been that man who pierced his side with a spear than to cause offense in the church. It is a dangerous thing when a Christian chooses to make it his or her business to cause offense. Brethren, we cannot afford to hurt each other. We cannot afford to intentionally hurt each other. Because the Lord is always looking at us. And that is one of the reasons why people leave the church. Is because they were offended. For whatever the reason is, they have left the church before us. They were. I always ask myself, when someone leaves the church, did I do anything to hurt that person? Did I do something wrong? I want to know. When I will search and try to investigate my relationship with them, just to make sure that didn't do anything wrong. Because if I did, I want to make sure I made it right. Because I don't want someone to leave the church because of me. However, people also leave the church because even when the truth is spoken, they are offended by it. I don't apologize for that. Because even when Jesus spoke the truth, folks were offended by it. Brethren, we need to make sure that when folks leave the church, it wasn't me and it wasn't you who caused the offense. If they left because they just choose not to want to obey the truth, follow the truth, and feel offended by the truth, the Lord will deal with that. We're here to present the truth the best way that God has given to us, in love. And even when you try to be the best speaker you could be in presenting the word of God, treat everyone in love, there will be always someone who is offended by the truth. But we don't worry about that. The Lord always takes care of that. But when it comes to willful an intentional hurting others, that is something that we have to be concerned about. Because that is one of the reasons why folks are leaving the church. Because they were offended. But also, brethren, lastly, may I suggest to you, another reasons why folks, people are leaving the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul describes here, brethren being taken away by every wind of doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. I'm going to tell you this, that false teachers, especially when they know that they are false, they will make every effort to feed you that false information the best way they know how. They will do whatever it takes to tell you sometimes even what you want to hear. It says one of the reasons why denominational churches grow so much is because, you know, folks are telling them what they want to hear. Not what they need to hear, but what they want to hear. There was a time I met this lady and she visited the Westbury Church of Christ. And, you know, after church service I went to and she said, you know, the services was wonderful. I was encouraged by everything that took place, but I would not be coming back. And I asked, why wouldn't you come to visit us again? And she pulled out a little list. And on that list she had, you know, what the pews, we don't have that kind of pews. She said, you know, you guys just have, chairs, so that will not do. You know, you guys... at the time we did not have overhead projectors, you guys don't have this. Then she started ticking on that list. And it caused me to really think, people are actually doing window shopping for churches. Amen. They're looking for what they like, not for what they need. They're looking for what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And because of that, over and over again, even brethren from the church are falling away because why? They are carried away by every wind of doctrine. It will not stop happening, brethren. But we need to make every effort that we are firmly planted, that we will not be carried away by every wind of doctrine. One of the things that an older preacher used to explain this, he said, have you ever seen a plastic bag in the wind? Does it look like it's in control? No. Have you ever seen a kite in the wind? Does it ever look like, even though this man has the rope in his hand, he still has no control of the kite itself? It still moves back and forth. And Paul is saying that when something is preached, it's like, you know what? They jump to it here, they jump to it there, they float here, they float there. They're just not stable. All because, you know, they hear something there, they hear something there, and they move from place to place because why? They're not stable. They move because of what they hear. And when we think of this, the reasons why people leave the church, brethren, because of seeing is pleasure, because pleasure of this world, because their priorities are not in order, because they came with the wrong intentions, because they were not firmly planted, because they were offended, because of the worries of life and the deceitfulness of riches. But also we have seen here, number 8, because they were carried away by every wind of doctrine. This is not an exhaustive list, but this is the reasons I've heard used most often when it comes to brethren leaving the church. Now, when you think of this, here's where it boils down to. With all these reasons stated in the Bible, in reference to folks leaving the church, when I think of Jesus in the garden, when I think of Jesus in the garden and he stood there, knowing that one of his own was going to betray him, he stayed. He took the keys. When you think of what Jesus went through between the garden and the grave, he was betrayed by a friend. Someone that he spent 3 years with, betrayed by a friend. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a broken down slave. He was taken into the courts and he was tried by night, which was illegal according to Roman law. He was beaten, and you know, and not only that, but also one of his own also, who we know as Peter, you know, he denied the Lord 3 times. And Jesus went through all that, all what he took before he was, you know, they made fun of him. He was like a laughing stock to them. And Jesus walked out the city and he carried the cross some of the way. But there was someone who helped him. And as he got there, they took him and nailed him on that cross. Jesus never once gave up on us. It causes me to wonder, why is it that brethren are leaving the church? If Jesus did all that for you and for me, never once gave up on us. Even in the garden, you could remember when he said, Lord, I wish that this cup would pass from me. He said, you know what? At the end of it all, Lord, if it is your will, let it be done. Never once gave up on us. But why is it that we give up on the Lord so easily? Why is it that brethren are leaving the church? Well, reasons we have looked at, brethren, I want to let you know that none of those reasons are justified reasons. There is no such reason that is a justified reason why should one leave the church. So I ask, would you stand with the Lord? Those of us who are here this evening, if you are not strong as you would like to be, would you make that special effort, that firm, unmovable commitment in wanting to dedicate yourself 100% plus to the Lord who went to the cross for you, who died for you, who was risen again, all because of your salvation and mine? No one else would do that for you or would do that for me. Jesus paid the price all by himself because he loves us so much. Therefore, Reverend, when you would have walked out this door this evening, you would have made a commitment within yourself and the Lord that you will never give up on him. You will not leave the church. Pray that as we try to restore ourselves, those of us who are here will get tired. But let us not give up. Folks who have gone out, folks who have left us, folks who have left this congregation, don't give up on them. Because they too may need some encouragement to get back home. And we'll look a little bit about this as we continue our lessons for the next night. But I thank you so much for your time, and I pray that God will bless you as a church and continue to direct your steps, that you will never leave the Lord. Thank you so much. May God bless you as we have our invitation song at this time.
And room, come in the strength of manhood, come in the morn of youth, enter the fold of safety, enter the way of truth, lovingly, tenderly calling is he. Wanderer, come unto me, patiently waiting there, standing I see, Jesus my shepherd divine, Jesus the loving shepherd, gave his dear life for thee. Tenderly now he's calling, wanderer, come to me. Haste, for without is danger. Come, Christ the Shepherd bless. Enter the fold of safety. Place of rest, love. tenderly calling his feet. Wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting there, standing I see. Jesus, my shepherd divine. Lingering is but folly. Wolves are abroad today, seeking the sheep who straying, seeking the lambs to slay. Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth thee now to come. Enter the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he. Wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting there, standing I see. Jesus, my shepherd divine.
Be seated, please.
We are very glad that you come. We have a few more come and help fill in the ranks. We have some people missing, in part because they're either traveling or because they're sick, so let's continue to remember the people that are out for various reasons. If you see someone who is not sick, someone who's not out of town, you might call them and just say, hey, we've got a good meeting going on. Their ride did a great job, very easy to follow, outline well, and very applicable for our day and time, because we are, as a congregation, trying to reach out right now and restore some of the people that we've lost. Every congregation is in that situation, at least everyone that I've ever known of in this country and elsewhere, so it's important work. Bill Hughes, we're glad that he's here tonight from Summit City. Bill will lead us in this missal prayer, and then we're through for this evening. Again, thank you for coming.
Our God and our Father, the Lord in heaven, we're so grateful to thee for this day, for the blessing. We're so grateful, Father, that we've been able to assemble here tonight to hear a message from you. Turn the word, Father. We're so grateful for the speaker who broke unto us the bread of life, Father. We ask your blessing upon him as he continues to preach the word of God, Father, that he will preach it without any additional subtraction. And those of us who hear may hear and be with eternity, Father. We ask you to bless him with the blessing that he stands in need of, Father. We not only pray for him, Father, we pray for this congregation and other congregations throughout the world, Father. We pray that you would be with this congregation, Father. Help them as they work together. They may do so in love and unity. Father, seeking to get that unity to divine peace. Speaking by your word, speaking in silent word, your word is silent, Father. We pray that they may grow in grace and knowledge of your word, Father. They may grow in phenomenon and spirituality. And Father, we ask to agree with those who have been mentioned that are sick. Father, we pray that you will restore them and reading with force their health and strength, Father, this time we will. Father, be with the sister who is at point of death, Father. We pray that you will be with that family. Help them, Father, to realize that indeed we live, we move, and have our very being, Father. We ask that as we leave this place and go to our places of abode, keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger, that which is seen, that which is unseen. In the name of your Son, I say, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.